Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
If you haven't noticed, Adelaide is looking a lot brighter than it normally does. Throughout winter, Illuminate Adelaide is running, and I'll be talking today on our podcast to co-founders and creative directors, Rachel Azzopardi and Lee Cumberledge. Both of them have stellar careers in the arts, spending much of the time away from South Australia, but have now come back. Rachel's been involved with the Melbourne Commonwealth Games, Sydney Theatre Company, Sydney Festival. Lee Cumberledge has been involved with Mona, also with the Commonwealth Games, WOMAD, and many other arts projects. So it'll be delightful to talk today about what Illuminate Adelaide actually brings. It's far more than just bright lights. Rachel, what a stellar career you've had in the arts. How exciting you're back in Adelaide. I mentioned to you I've got my daughters up in Sydney where apparently the Mecca is. Tell me what brought you back after being involved in the Melbourne Commonwealth Games. You've been involved in the Sydney Festival, Sydney Theatre Company. What's brought you back here?
Yeah, I have been in Sydney and it is a wonderful place, but I think Adelaide's even better. And that's why I came back. I sort of took a bit of a sabbatical, came back to Adelaide. I have family here and I've always, even being living away for all those years, have always made sure I've sort of kept those contacts, and Adelaide's always been home. So I found myself back in Adelaide, really wanting to come back and see what was happening here in the cultural landscape and bring a new event back to Adelaide. Had a bit of thoughts, and Lee happened to be back here with his family, so it was a no-brainer to get together and create something new for Adelaide.
And of course, we feel, if you ask any Adelaidean or South Australian, that we are the centre of cultural arts. Do you think that's true?
I do. And it's amazing how many incredible artists and arts workers there are all around Australia and internationally that have actually come from South Australia. So we were very lucky. I think we're a really rich cultural centre.
And of course, we attract them with our festivals at our heavy time of the year through January, February, March, when it's just insane. So it's great to have Illuminate Adelaide, which we'll talk about shortly, happening in the dead of winter. Now, Lee, what brought you back to Adelaide after being involved with many projects, including, you know, yourself, the Commonwealth Games?
Yeah, well, I had lived in Melbourne for the better part of 15 years, and for a lot of that time I was working for Mona, creating their festivals down there. And I think working in a smaller city, commuting from Melbourne, it inspired me to sort of think about coming back to my hometown. And Adelaide's such a great city, and it's a fantastic size for doing something like what we do with Illuminate. You know, when there's a big event or festival on in Adelaide, you know it's on, it takes over the city. We have a fantastic cultural boulevard here of North Terrace, which is a big part of our free program, obviously. So, you know, all the accommodation, the restaurants and the cultural institutions and those fantastic civic spaces and gardens that we have are all located very close together. So it's a perfect place to do what we do.
And Lee, you've just said something that's always of interest to me, is the fact that we can hold it in a city this size. Remember when we had the Grand Prix when it first came, even though the Grand Prix has gone, well, it was stolen, wasn't it, by Melbourne? Yes. Is that it's just not the same there. People say, because if you're not interested in it, you wouldn't know it's happening. But when something big is happening in Adelaide, everybody knows you can't get away with it, because that CBD is such a great central space.
Yeah, that's right. I think you see Adelaide at its best when there's something like this on. And, you know, if you're a visitor to Adelaide, if you haven't been here before and you see the community coming out in the way that they do for Illuminate Adelaide or for the festival and Fringe, you know, it's a fantastic way to experience a new city. And I think, you know, we've grown up out of that culture as young people here in South Australia, and I think it's certainly affected, you know, my choices in terms of what I was doing and my love of arts and culture, and so that's why I got into doing what I do now.
So I put this question to you, Rachel. Illuminate Adelaide, where has this come from? Now, both yourself and Lee are co-founders and creative directors, but where has it come from as a concept?
Oh, our imaginations, I think, from the very beginning.
You dreamt this up over a latte.
We did. We just sat down. It took a good year. So Lee and I did actually meet up over a coffee to begin with, and I think when we first began talking about a brand new event for winter, it was going to be two nights, I think, and it soon extended. The more we talked to people, the more we visited cultural institutions and stakeholders and government, and so it took us about 10 months to pull a business case together that we then presented to the government. And we really wanted to have a major event, a major cultural event for the city that was diverse and it was accessible for everyone and was a sort of convergence of art, light, music and technology, because we felt that that wasn't really provided, or that there wasn't a bigger event happening like that in South Australians who wanted to provide that for people to come out into the public realm and really immerse themselves in a cultural event.
And Lee, this type of event with the mixture of the art, light, technology, all of that vision, do you think it provides wider appeal to youth today when we're competing with everything on a mobile phone? So what we go to has to stack up.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of it. You know, I think human beings are inherently creative, and I think, you know, what we've tried to create is something that appeals to the imaginations of people of all ages. You know, I think it's true to say that the arts and the entertainment industries are already tending in that direction. You know, I think the increase of immersive experiences and concerts, performances, artworks that embed technology in some way is out there. And this was sort of exciting to Rachel and I at the beginning, that we would create an event that really sort of brings the best of what's available in that realm from around the world here to Adelaide. But it is also about young people and artists in particular thinking differently about their practice and, you know, who they might collaborate with in terms of, you know, innovators and creative people in the technology space as well. So we've commissioned a number of projects that bring, you know, more traditional artists together with those sorts of practitioners. And that's been some of the best projects and the most enjoyable work that we've done.
And collaboration and co-design is always amazing. Rachel?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say also, you know, to a lot of people view technology and entertainment on their screen on their own a lot of the time. And so I think what was really important to us, especially for the young people, is that you can experience technology together out and about, whether it's walking through the Botanic Gardens or walking down North Terrace. So I think that was a really important way for us to engage with the younger audiences as well.
Was there a deliberate intent to have the events in nature? I know they're not all in nature, but specifically your premium events, and we'll get to Fire Gardens.
Oh, look, I think it was just one part of our program, really. I think that's what we're trying to do, make it as diverse. But how beautiful seeing technology in a natural environment. When do you get to do that, really? Sort of so embedded in that with nature, there's something sort of quite surreal about that. And I suppose for Lee and I, it's about the experience, and that's what Illuminate is. It's all about sort of immersive experiences and actually feeling and thinking. It's an oral and a visual experience. And sense.
And considering Adelaide's very busy calendar during those early parts of the year, is that why winter was chosen, that time of the year?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the kinds of things we wanted to present are best presented during those winter nights where it's dark at 5:30, 6 o'clock. So, you know, for us to be able to switch on the program at that time was important as well. But it's true, they are quieter months in Adelaide, and I think spreading the activity out across the year is something that made a lot of sense. You know, we've seen the government continue to invest in filling up the calendar with different things throughout the year now as well, which seems to work, you know, because events are a really great trigger for people to travel to South Australia. You know, they can be that reason. And so to get people coming here in those quieter months is part of how the event supports the city and supports the businesses and the accommodation and everything else.
And I'm curious as to how you curate the events. I know that you sat down and dreamed this up, but every year, and you've got a contract until
2027 at this stage. Yeah.
Through South Australian SATC, fantastic. But then when I look at your backgrounds and consider the Commonwealth Games, like with the opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies with Mona, big, huge events with the Commonwealth Games and also Mona. It's just incredible when you go in, and it really stretches the boundaries. Were you able to bring some of that into Illuminate Adelaide?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the free programming in general and the power of free access is something that's been part of, you know, other things I've done in the past, including Mona FOMA, particularly in the early years where it was all free, and the Commonwealth Games Cultural Festival, you know, that was, again, all free. And I think, you know, that really inspired both of us to think about how we could do that for Adelaide. And it is the biggest free program that the state sees. And I think, you know, we've seen over 1 million attendances for the last 2 years. And it's just so fantastic to see such a diverse audience come out, you know, where anybody can come. There's no tickets required for that program. And, you know, so we can see our city transformed and have that shared experience of our city as well.
That's the city lights that people
that's
just
city
walk
lights,
around.
Yeah.
Well, for a lot of our community centres listening, a lot of the people, they're being smashed at the moment with cost of living pressure. So to have something free, but even your biggest flagship events, which we will talk about, Fire Gardens, it's still very reasonable, $42 with concessions if you have them.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, that was very important to Lee and I when we curated the whole event to make it accessible. There's Eden at, you know, Isla. I think that's $20. The zoo is, you know, again, accessible price. But if you can't, and we understand people are struggling, you know, that's why we put the free program on. And it's a fantastic program of over 40 different installations throughout the city. There's Base Camp as well, which is our food and beverage hub. So again, really affordable. You know, food that you can go somewhere for, you know, free, sit down and, you know, start there or end there after your City Lights journey. So it's, especially with families or bigger groups or friends, or, yeah, it's a great way to navigate the event.
And of course, being the CBD, people can catch public transport. One place in Adelaide, you can only get to the centre, nowhere else. Don't try and cross suburbs. So that makes it easier as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a big part of it as well, making sure that it's, you know, central so that people can come from all over. We get a lot of people coming from outside the city as well, so it's the easiest place for them to get to from regional centres as well.
We have a lot of regional community centres, and I often say there's nothing for us, but something like this is well worthwhile coming for a weekend because you could go to several events.
Absolutely, yeah. There's, I mean, whether you do the free City Lights or one night you sort of start there and then go to Fire Guns, the Botanic Gardens, another night Universal Kingdom at the zoo, or we've got things to do in the day as well. There's Eden at Light Square Isla and also Superluminal at the South Australian Museum for sort of 4 to 8 year olds. So there's a lot going on during the school holidays. So you sort of can do things in the day and the evening and make the most of your time, you know, in the city.
And that works well for our community centres who literally have them from playgroup through to the other end of life. Let's talk about the Fire Gardens, the event that I did go to, and I was absolutely astounded at how great it was. There was just so much fire, and fire has fascinated people for years, isn't it? And particularly when it's cold, and I didn't feel like I was actually in Australia. I felt, listening to all of the French accents, because there's that heavy with the fires and going through nature, I could have actually been anywhere, and I felt a very medieval time. I was waiting for the lute to come out and to be played. There was some music there. So it's Company Carabosse. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, Company Carabosse are from France, from the western part of France, and they've been touring fire gardens all around the world for quite a number of years. We just thought it was the perfect change, I suppose, for us for this year. We wanted to do something very different to what we'd been doing before. And, you know, fire has this primal kind of attraction.
That's
for
the word,
for
primal.
People. Yeah, and it's a beautiful, calm experience where this time you get to choose your own journey around the garden. So Carabosse have installed their kinetic sculptures, some of which, you know, move with the fire pots in different kind of shapes and artworks. They also have their live musicians as well that play in different parts of the garden. So it's a really tranquil experience where you go and explore the gardens at will. You get to sit on the swings that they have brought with them, or, you know, they have these beautiful seats as well that get heated water pumped through them from the fire.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I would have gone and sat on one of those.
Yeah, you really have to explore the whole garden to get the full experience.
So let's talk about the fire and the water and the metal, because a lot of it reminded me of, in past times, even like what the Romans would have invented, you know, with the circle where they've got the water going through. It reminded me of that time when they were investigating how a force of one thing could drive another for energy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in that artwork, you've got two core elements coming together in the fire and water, and it's really fascinating to watch the water drive the movement of the kinetic sculpture with that has the fire placed on it. And you know, I think that just goes to, or it harks back to, some of the earliest technologies, and I think that's where it fits into our program and our focus on art, light and technology as well, because, you know, fire is one of the first things that we use to change the way we live. It's a very fundamental evolutionary moment in time when we, you know, began to work with fire. So that's the sort of thing we wanted to evoke with this experience.
And I thought the transfer to energy is great education for children to see how water can drive and be energy, the power of fire and what it can and can't do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you see that, I think watching the young people in the experience in particular, they're really captivated by that very fact. And, you know, just the calming nature it has on everybody that goes through there is really something to behold.
And using the Botanic Gardens, there's that huge tree, the pod, what's that tree called? The bow?
I'm not sure of the name of the tree.
Dive tree. I kind of felt for a while there that I was on Survivor or some form of reality TV show, because we actually couldn't get out or get while there. I'm just going, we're going to be stuck in the gardens here. But anyway,
on the island.
Yeah, in the Australian forest.
Yeah, my partner's there holding up the phone. That is a waste of time. We're already having this whole thing about we're here, we should be here. It was quite funny because I'm the old fashioned, I'm very good at directions, whereas he just totally relies on his phone. So right. I'm not sure where that's taking you, but it's not. So anywhere we need to be.
Yeah, I don't know what would take you in the garden, but yeah,
But I just felt that whole, you could really use your imagination and put yourself anywhere. That's what I loved about it.
Yeah, it really transforms the gardens, and that's what we wanted to do too. It's a very magical experience that you walk in there and you can be anywhere in the world, and I think that's, you know, one thing we wanted to do by bringing over a whole lot of international artists and with our local artists, really transforming Adelaide into something that they don't normally get to see. It's seeing their city in a different way, or getting getting interstate visitors to see Adelaide, the Adelaide we love, in a different way.
Now, pardon the pun, but it is a little bit smoke and mirrors, isn't it? Because I always thought that when I went to Disneyland, that essentially a lot of the best rides in Disneyland are just big sheds. Mm. That they have then turned around into these amazing rides. Mm. They created. It's a shed.
Well, yeah, that's transforming you. That's what an immersive experience is all about. You forget where you are. And that's so if we do that, we're doing a good job.
Now, you're going to be doing this for a while. You've got another, obviously, till 2027. Have you started to turn your minds to next year?
We have, actually, yeah. I think we're sort of halfway into the programming. It's sort of the fun time. I mean, our teams are running around delivering Illuminate, and Lee and I are very privileged that we get around to see the experiences, see how people, you know, experience our program, which then really helps us think about what we're going to do next, or what we want to bring, or what will work where, or until you walk it and experience it, and then you can see all the extra things we want to do in the other years.
Yeah, and I think because, you know, we put together a brand new program every time, and, you know, the free program, for example, changes entirely from one year to the next. You know, we've got our work cut out for us in what is actually quite a short space of time in 12 months to come up with another program.
Now, I have to ask, everyone talks about AI. How is AI impacting on arts and technology in terms of what you're going to deliver? Are we going to see virtual hologram images? Are we going to see robots coming out going, welcome? Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I think we're probably see all of those
things.
You know, and I think there's quite a healthy discussion about, you know, the ethics around AI in general and how it affects all industries, including, you know, the arts and the creation of art. The piece that's in our free program on the facade of AGSA engages AI in a way that kind of speaks to this a little bit. It involves deepfake technology, and the artists have actually used deepfake technology to create a video artwork of the Renaissance portraits that are inside the gallery, in the gallery's collection, and make them sing contemporary Australian pop songs. It's incredibly funny, but it also does just, you know, hint towards the fact that this is the sort of thing we can do with AI as well. So it does ask those questions.
And it can create. I remember going to the iLab and they had one of their experiences. We did yoga, but you could have been on a mountain.
Anywhere.
I love that. Just that whole thing of being there, and I'm doing yoga suddenly, there's a beach and the beautiful water and then a rainforest, and I just found it amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible what can be done at the moment, and I think that's what's fun for us too. It's always searching for the next thing or what's new out there, and, you know, working out what artists could work with that technology and what they can, you know, create. And I think too, just going back to the AGSA Anouk work, you know, it's great because it really challenges people's perception of what art should be and what's okay. And some people were outraged, you know, that they've been brought alive and singing, and other people sort of think it's hilarious, and that's what art's about. It's challenging and interesting and good and bad, and it's great to bring those things to the forefront and people think about technology and creativity and what's real and what's not.
Well, you've made it exciting, because I always think if you go to a gallery and you watch people standing there and one person has a completely different view to the next, and somebody else just says, just a red dot with some black lines, people. And somebody else has created this whole thing in their mind. But what I love about what you've done is we can't always get people to go to galleries anymore. Now I think, oh, I'll just look at it on my phone. But you must be there in person. You must experience it physically. And that's what I love about it. You actually really are doing a community service, helping mental health, getting people out of their homes.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. I mean, I think, you know, our audience doesn't need to go to the gallery or into the traditional sort of venues and institutions to experience the program. And that was a big part of it for us, making sure people understand that it's for everybody in the community and they can share these experiences together. You know, I think what is really important about the performing arts, you know, in particular, which is our background, is the shared live experience. And so we're trying to create that shared experience of things that use technology. So, you know, experiencing it together is a really important part.
And how has business in South Australia responded to Illuminate Adelaide? Because you've now had a really good, successful years. Is it easy to get their engagement?
Yeah, look, I think they've been incredibly supportive. And I think really from the beginning, when we were talking about the idea of Illuminate Adelaide before we got the first edition up, people were very supportive. But each year, more and more businesses and partners have come on board and really supported us. And that's really great for us, because we want, you know, that flow on to happen for the businesses. That's why we're doing it as well, so that people also get meals paid for and bars and are full and all that sort of stuff. But even our partners supporting our event to get our event up and on, they really feel the value. So we've been incredibly lucky, and each year it gets more and more and stronger within those communities.
Well, it's such a great vibe. Just seeing the lineup about to go in on that first night, just the vibe that you've got normally doesn't happen except in February, March in this city. And there it was, freezing cold, but people are out there looking forward to going into getting some fire experience.
Yeah, I think it's been great, the growing of it and the anticipation, you know, the first couple of years. And, you know, our first year was COVID, only the second lockdown. So that, you know, that sort of got us off to a bumpy start. But each year it's grown, and the anticipation, you know, it was educating people of what Illuminate Adelaide is. And now everyone knows what it is, and they come looking and for their next experience, which is a really great position to be in. You know, this is only our fourth year. So, you know, the Festival on the Fringe, they've been going for 60 years. So it does take time to create these events within the community. But we're just really blown away by how quickly people have really embraced Illuminate Adelaide.
Well, you'll be a part of the furniture in no time with such an outstanding event. What else is on the program we should let listeners know about?
Well, I think Rachel mentioned it a couple of times. Eden at Isla is one to definitely check out. This is Berlin-based studio Flora and Fauna Visions, some of the best at what they do. They've created a beautiful video artwork that you can explore and interact with upstairs in the studio there at Isla, which has about 150 metres of LED screens. And it tracks your movement, and you can interact with what is a utopian garden environment. Ooh, incredibly lush and beautiful. Yep.
And I think Superlumina, I mentioned it before, a fantastic work by Patch Theatre at the South Australian Museum, Universal Kingdom at the Adelaide Zoo, fantastic prehistoric nights full of wonderful dinosaur puppets and installations. And of course, we've got a huge music program coming up as well.
We've got Unsound, which is an experimental and electronic music festival all the way from Europe. Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth Fame. We've also got Jop Beving as well. So he's a Dutch pianist and composer with a beautiful interactive light artwork from Boris Ackett on stage as well.
Well, it's been a privilege to talk to the co-founders, talking to Rachel Asapati and Lee Cunledge about this incredible event. Thank you so much for bringing it to Adelaide. As a very passionate South Australian, I'm really proud of what you've done. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.